Good day, friends. Again we come to you, and again may I say it's a real joy and delight for me just to talk to you about our Saviour and our responsibility as those who love Him, trust Him, and one of these days are going to be made just like Him. My, what a prospect. We're studying together these days the Epistle of James, possibly the first epistle that was written. And in our last lesson, we were down through verse 11, starting with verse 12. We've been discussing the fact that that we should count it all joy to fall into many temptations and tests because it works something. And if I don't know why God does things, then I'm to ask of God. If I lack wisdom, discernment, understanding of what God is doing, I'm to ask of God. He's the one who has wisdom. And by the way, He's the only one. And if I want wisdom, I must get it from Him. For God has hidden in Christ all His treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. And all the Lord asks us to do is to ask in faith. And God will meet your need. He doesn't judge you or go after you. He upbraideth not. All He wants is just you. Come in simple faith and ask. If I come with doubts, then I have a divided mind. The question I raise is God, the Lord of glory, the object of your faith. And He will meet timid faith, weak faith. And as the psalmist says in the 34th Psalm, the ear of the Lord is open to the cry of the righteous cry. The Lord heareth, and the Lord delivereth them. Then following that were two kinds of tests. In verses 9 to 11, I'm just mentioning them. There were the tests of poverty, the trials of being in poverty, and the temptation of the rich. And I want to say either one can result in spiritual disaster. The tests we have are for the perfecting of our character before God. And He knows what's best for us. Whether it be the test of adversity or the test of prosperity. And He reminds the rich of the brevity of life. Someone said to a party, Mr. So-and-so has died. Yes. How much did he leave behind? Everything. Everything. You came into the world with nothing and you go out with nothing. Then he comes to the encouragement concerning tests, in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Let me just stop at this verse. Here's the encouragement for us in tests and trials. The Lord knows what you're going through. You see, the Lord knows all about that. There's not a minute of the day He ever leaves you. And He's sufficient for your need, and He cares. That's the wonder of it all, that the omnipotent God cares for the least of His children, the weakest of His children, the failing Christian, the stumbling Christian. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, when he is tried, shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord shall give to them that love Him. You see, when we go through our tests and trials, rejoicing in Him, it leads us to a fuller, more richer life. There's no question about that. The more tests you go through, the purer your faith is. God has never promised to deliver us from tests. Remember that. He has promised to be with us in the test. He has promised to limit the test. He has promised to bring us through the test. And when we come through the test, we're richer. How shall I put it? Our life is fuller than ever was before. No wonder Paul prays in the Ephesian church, chapter 3. He prays that we might be filled unto all the fullness of God. And that takes in the life of God, the very life of God. But he says here, we shall receive a crown of life. See, the Lord notices this. The Lord does reward His people for faithfulness to Him. and he has promised a crown of life to those who love him. Do you remember in Revelation 2:10, where the Apostle John is writing to the seven churches, and the second one is the church at Smyrna. And you remember the church at Smyrna was the church of the persecutions. He promised them, or he declared, that they would be tested and tried through 10 long persecutions. And that's what Smyrna went through, by the way. The Smyrna church, or the church at Smyrna, went through 10 different separate persecutions by Diocletian, the Roman king, the Roman ruler. And the promise is, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee crown of life. The crown of life is given to those who endure temptation, and he's going to give it to those who love him. While do not all Christians love him? You're not talking about that so much as it is, do we love him enough to go through our tests and trials for the glory and praise of God? Now, all believers have eternal life. He's not talking here about eternal life so much. Eternal life is a gift from God. You can't earn eternal life. You take that precious verse, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. We can't earn eternal life. Well, you know, very frankly, you can't earn life. You don't get life by works. Life can only come through relationship. How often I've mentioned that on this radio's program. You can't earn life. You can't buy life. Life can only come through relationship. As John 1:4 says, in him, in Christ, is life. John 14:19, Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. John 3:36 says, he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. The difference between life and death is Christ. An eternal life or an eternal death. And as 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, he that hath the Son of God hath life. It's a repetition from John 3:36. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. So the crown of life, it's some special thing that God gives to men, the fullness of the enjoyment of a richer life in Christ. And you can have part of that now. Blessed is the man, present experience. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. By the way, if you want a little study sometime, I would suggest you read your New Testament with respect to how God rewards his people. Let me make these suggestions to you. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, we sometimes call this the soul winner's crown, where Paul wrote, are not even ye, that is the Thessalonian Christians, are you not my joy and crown of joy and rejoicing? You remember Paul had gone down to the city of Thessalonica, and they turned to God from their idols. And these Gentile idolaters, with all that pertains to idolatry, heard the message of a wonderful Savior who could save them from sin and corruption. As Paul says, our word came to you not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Spirit of God, using the word of God, through the child of God. I'm glad that's in the book, isn't it? And the result was they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, whom he raised from the dead, who hath delivered us from the coming wrath. I'm quoting the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And then when you come to chapter 2, the end of the chapter, after speaking of the opposition by the Jew and by Satan, the devil, the adversary, he comes along and says, you are our crown of joy and rejoicing. By the way, it is also repeated in Philippians chapter 4, the first verse, where he's still dealing with this question of a crown of joy and rejoicing. And then you remember Peter speaks of a crown of glory. And this is given to the faithful under-shepherds. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 to 4, you remember the passage where Peter, who says, I'm an elder with you, and he speaks to the under-shepherds, to pastors and teachers of the Word of God, when he says, do not lord it over God's heritage. Do not serve for filthy lucre's sake. Don't preach for money's sake. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive the crown of glory which fadeth not away. You know, it's an amazing thing when you think of it. Do you remember the last chapter of the Gospel through John, chapter 21? Here is the same dear Peter, possibly one of the leaders of the church of the first century, man who knew Christ personally, face to face, how he walked and lived with the Savior, with all his frailty, etc. He became a shepherd. But before he could qualify to be an under-shepherd, Jesus, after resurrection, met Peter and the disciples up there by the Lake of Galilee. You remember, he had the breakfast already waiting for them. By the way, isn't that just like the Lord? Here these fellows have fished all night, and I'll guarantee they were so hungry they could have eaten the boat. They came ashore, and the Lord had their breakfast ready for them, bread and fish. He turned to Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? If you love me, you can feed my lambs. Second time, Peter, do you love me? Shepherd my sheep. Third time, Peter, do you really love me? And Peter's answer was, you remember, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. You see, the prerequisite for an under-shepherd, a real under-shepherd to the Savior, is wholehearted devotion to the person of Christ. This is what he wanted. This is what he wants today for you and me. Whether you're preachers or teachers or Sunday school teachers, whatever you are, if you're a child of God, the first thing we must have is wholehearted devotion to the person of Christ. Do you love me, Peter? Do you really, really love me? I'll give you a job. You see, friend, when you love him, there are no tasks that are irksome. When you love him, it's a joy to serve him. If I may give a personal testimony, it's no chore to me to sit down and talk to you about the Savior, or to preach the gospel, or to teach students, whatever it may be, to teach the students at Multnomah School of the Bible, or preach the Word of God in different parts of the country, whatever I am. It's no chore to delight to talk about him. Why? Because I love him. And you know, when you love people, you're free to talk about them. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. And what's the fruitage of it? What's the encouragement? I will give you the crown of glory that fadeth not away. 1 Peter chapter 5. Then the third one, the fourth one, I should say, the crown of life, the crown of joy and rejoicing, crown of glory. Then it's the crown of righteousness. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. And compare with that 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. You remember that passage where Paul says he's in jail, you remember. He's about to be offered. He's at the end of his ministry. He's going to die. He's going to be beheaded. Sentence has been passed. At my first answer, he said, all men forsook me and fled, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. So what did he say? The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Now let me add this verse in 1 John 2. Everyone who hath this hope set on him purifieth himself even as he is pure. 1 John 3:3. Mark that. You know, it's an amazing thing. Do you love his appearing? There are many Christians evangelical Christians, if you were to ask them, do you believe in the return of the Savior, they would all say yes. Of course, we're looking for the coming of the Lord. But I ask the question, do you love His appearing? You see, friend, if I love His appearing, it will affect my life. For everyone who hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I have a friend who is now with the Lord, a remarkable pastor, a wonderful gospel preacher. If I may quote his own testimony, he preached the coming of the Lord. He believed in it. But one day he was asked the question, Dr. So-and-so, do you really love his appearing? It was just like an arrow into his heart. Do you know it transformed his ministry? He had a very large congregation, but it transformed his ministry. As the question came to his heart, do I really love his appearing? Do you know what happened? He became one of the finest soul winners that I know of. He would go and meet people for one purpose, to relate to them the wonderful story of redeeming grace. If you and I really believe, really love the appearing of the Savior, we'd be very happy to redeem the time. We would see that our lives were pure before God, pure before men. Oh, what a dishonor some Christians bring on the name of our Savior because of the lives that they live. If your love is appearing, you'll be living in daily anticipation of seeing Him, as Peter wrote, whom having not seen, we love. Now there's a fifth one. Remember these crowns I'm talking about, the crown of life, which has to do with tests and trials, the crown of joy and rejoicing, which has to do with soul winning, the crown of glory for the faithful unto shepherd, the crown of righteousness for those who love His appearing. There's one further one. It's called the incorruptible crown in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 to 27. You remember what Paul wrote when he said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertain, so fight I, but I keep my body in subjection, so that having preached to others, I myself will not be disapproved. And when you and I keep our bodies in subjection from its lusts and desires, God has for us an incorruptible crown. You know, sometimes people say, Mr. Mitchell, you know, I'm not living for a crown. I just want to please Jesus. Well, that's all right. But I'll tell you right now, He's put them in here for a purpose. And if you take those five crowns and look at them, every phase of your life and my life is governed by a crown. In the book of Revelation, I find that they cast their crowns at His feet and crown Him Lord of all. Are you going to have a crown to cast at His feet? The 22nd chapter of Revelation, the Lord is going to come bringing His rewards with Him. And we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema, and give an account. Just as Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, you've got to stand before the Bema. I've got to keep the rules of the game, if I use that terminology of the Greek Olympic Games. So I say to you this today, every phase of your life is governed by a crown. And Revelation 3 says, hold that fast, that no man take your crown. Wonderful, wonderful thing. The reward for perseverance through tests is the divine approval of the Lord. Now, I've been talking about God's people receiving rewards from God. You remember in 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 11 on, no foundation can any man lay but that which is laid, and we build upon the foundation, Christ Jesus. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And the day shall declare it. You're going to stand the test of divine fire. The gold, the silver, the precious stones will stand the test of the fire. The wood, hay, stubble will be burned up. And you know, we'll be very happy to see it burn up. Isn't that right? Are you living your day for the Savior? I'm talking to you Christians. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And you know, my friend, and I speak to those of you who do not know the Savior, you can receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember, in him is life. And until I am in right relationship with the Savior, I have no life. I have no life. I have no hope. Isn't it wonderful that God has made the provision for you and for me to have life eternal? And then wonder of wonders, as we walk before him, in fellowship with him, going through tests and trials and the various experiences of life, he's with us, never leaves us, and he's promised to give us, the crown of life. Oh, what a day that's going to be when we stand in the presence of our wonderful Savior. See him face to face, and every believer will be just like him. But there's going to be this difference. Some are going to be crowned, going to be rewarded for their faithfulness. Remember, God never rewards greatness. He rewards faithfulness to him, wherever God puts you. Oh, you say, I wish I were this, that, or the other thing. Well, my friend, you're not. You're not. God's put you where you are. He's given you gifts, given you the personality you have. For what purpose? That you might bring glory to his name, and he will reward faithfulness to him. The task he's given us to do. Don't get discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Just you walk with God today, right where you are. Oh, I'd like to be some other place. No, he's put you right where you are. And the best place for you and me to serve God is where he's put us. Remember, he rewards faithfulness, not greatness. And may the Lord wonderfully bless you today for his name's sake.